It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Senior officials here at the State Department said today they were aware back in January of how bad the optics looked in this case, but they went ahead anyway because they needed, as they put it, to get creative about how to deal with a hostile foreign government like the Islamic regime.
We feel very comfortable that the United States of America held on to its principles, got its people home, kept faith with them, and I do not believe we have invited further situation.
What Secretary of State John Kerry did not mention last January when he welcomed Iran's release of 5 American hostages the day before as part of a prisoner swap was that the United States, as first reported today by the Wall Street Journal, had also arranged for an unmarked cargo plane to deliver to Iran $400 million in hard foreign currency on or about the same day as the Americans were set free.
This was not ransom. Any suggestion that it had anything to do with ransom is absolutely and utterly false. Now, yes, they were done simultaneously. And so I understand the coincidental nature here, the timing.
The $400 million U.S. officials said was the amount the Shah of Iran had paid the U.S. in the late 1970s for an arms purchase just prior to the Islamic Revolution, after which Iran seized 52 American hostages and the U.S. froze Iranian assets here. Iran's claim to the $400 million had been pending in an international tribunal at The Hague, and the U.S., fearing an adverse ruling of up to $10 billion, said it negotiated a settlement worth $1.7 billion overall.
Iran released 5 Americans who were unjustly detained on Iranian soil, and we resolved a 35-year-old financial claim with the Iranians in a way that saved Americans potentially billions of dollars.
Secretary Kerry spoke to the settlement at the time and tried to say, look, guys, I know it looks like, but there's no there there.
The prisoner swap and the $400 million down payment occurred just as the nuclear deal with Iran was being formally implemented, and just a few days after the regime released 10 U.S. Navy sailors captured offshore. Administration critics said it all amounted to a ransom payment that has only emboldened a state sponsor of terrorism.
We don't give them access to hard currency for the reason that if they get their hands on cash, they give that to Hezbollah and to Hamas.
Aides to Secretary of State Kerry may feel there's nothing left to be said about all this, but the Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, disagrees. He wrote to Kerry today demanding all the documents relating to this transaction and also that Secretary of State Kerry himself appear before the committee to answer more questions about it.
All right, James Rosen and Fox yesterday. This is Sandy Rios in the morning, and this all started with a Wall Street Journal report just 2 days ago. And let me just read this one paragraph. It describes wooden pallets stacked with euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies were flown into Iran on an unmarked cargo plane. The U.S. procured the money from the central banks and the Netherlands and Switzerland. So cash loaded, delivered, inconspicuously to the terrorist state of Iran by our national government. Well, joining me is one of the nation's leading experts on this issue, Michael Ledeen. He, by the way, is the author of a new book called The Field of Flight with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, in which they talk a great deal about our relationship with Iran. And also Michael writes for PJ Media, but you have to know that he's been around a long time. He's followed the trouble in Tehran starting with the Shah. He worked with the U.S. Department of State, the U.S. State Department of Defense, and I could go on and on, but then we couldn't talk. Michael, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Sandy. It's Field of Fight.
What did I say? Oh, I said thank you.
Fight.
That makes a big difference. Field of Fight. And it just came out like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes, written with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn.
Well, all right. So, Michael, is there any circumstance under which the United States government should be delivering hard cash, hard currency, in various amounts secretly to a foreign terrorist government. Any excuse for that at all?
Well, sure, if you don't want the people to know you're doing it, that's the way to do it. Do it secretly.
Yeah, but is there any way, any circumstance under which it's legitimate to do that? It's $400 million in cash. Is there any excuse that can be made for this administration for doing that?
Well, I think it's illegal, in fact. There's a law in the books. We can't pay money for hostages. And you'll notice that the spokesmen for the government are adamant, and they're almost screaming at anybody who implies such a thing, that there was no ransom payment. And the fact that the money arrived just as the hostages were leaving, that's one of those coincidences of which life is so rich. But,
you know,
they don't want to get caught committing a felony, after all. But that said, we've been ransoming hostages for years. And
right,
almost
so
everybody in the world ransoms hostages.
Does that make it okay? That means it's okay? Are you saying this is okay?
No, I'm saying it's commonplace. And it's not okay. A lot of life is commonplace, but not okay, as we all know.
Well, all right. So let's talk about... Really, it's hard for people to understand, Michael. You know, one of the four, it's always confusing to me. It's either four or five prisoners released. One of them with the Washington Post. He was the correspondent in Tehran for them. And he was there for many years, but not as many as Pastor Abedini, who our audience is very familiar with, who was tortured, you know, tormented, was in prison for so many years.
Right.
So he was released, and everyone's so grateful for that. Why is it wrong to have paid that $400 million in cash to get him and the others out?
Because, in fact, all you do is encourage hostage takers to take more hostages, because they know, and the more you pay, the more they'll take, because the higher the profit margin goes. It's a business, hostage taking. The Iranians the Revolutionary Guards, Hezbollah, so forth, are always encouraged by the regime in Tehran to take hostages, especially American hostages, because they collect the most. By the way, this is so common that even Israel, which is the last country in the world that you would expect to pay, does always negotiate for hostages, and always ends up paying outrageous prices for them. You know, 700 prisoners in Israeli prisons get swapped for one body of a former of an Israeli soldier. I mean, this kind of thing happens all the time. It's wrong. The solution to this problem doesn't have to do with negotiating or not negotiating for hostages. The solution to this problem consists in going after that regime in Tehran, bringing it down, and freeing up Iran, which would solve many more problems than hostages, believe me.
Michael, there was an allegation on James Rosen's clip, and of course I know you know this and I've read it, but we need to explain that hard currency, when you transfer money through the banks, Iran has a problem because they can't access Western dollars because of the sanctions. And so hard currency is much more dangerous. Could you explain that, please?
Well, as Charles Krauthammer said the other night, this is the high-level equivalent of money laundering. We couldn't write them a check for the money because they can't cash it, because no bank will give the Iranian regime access to dollars. So we had to launder the money for them. We had to go out there and convert dollars into Swiss francs, euros, so forth, and then stack it on pallets and fly it to Iran. It's really quite remarkable.
You know, President Obama said something about this kind of cryptically back in January, and actually I'd like to play that clip. It's clip 4. Jeff, let's listen to what the president said. Hang on.
The United States and Iran are now settling a long-standing Iranian government claim against the United States government. Iran will be returned its own funds, including appropriate interest, but much less than the amount Iran sought. For the United States, this settlement could save us billions of dollars that could have been pursued by Iran.
All right, Michael, this is the part I don't understand. They are claiming that we might have had a judgment of $10 billion against the United States, and we actually saved money doing this. This is a big savings. Well, right. First of all, who's going to make us pay something that we supposedly owe Iran, given their terrorist actions against even our soldiers in Iraq? Who's going to make us pay that kind of a debt?
Well, this is one of those things. Churchill once said that it's outrageous to hold ourselves to the strictest interpretation of laws against regimes that are trampling the very idea of rule of law. And this would have been another one of those cases. This is money that was impounded by the United States government at the time of the fall of the Shah. And the regime in Iran, the Islamic Republic, has been trying to get their hands on that money and associated interest ever since. Well, you're quite right. I mean, there's no reason why we should pay money to that regime. On the contrary, that's a regime that should be paying us damages for all the Americans that they've killed all over the years.
You know, it's amazing. Oliver North, I was going to play this clip, but we're running out of time. He asks a lot of pointed questions in a brief interview, and he said, we just want to know, why is it that the policies of this administration are so always so favorable to the Iranians? And I would ask you that question, Michael. Why are we helping them, giving them hard cash, expediting this terror organization, terror country?
Because President Obama is desperate for a close, warm, intimate relationship with Iran, and he has been since before he was president. During the presidential campaign of 2008, he sent a secret back channel to Tehran to say to the Iranians, "I'm going to win this election, and then everything's going to change. We're going to be allies. We're going to be friends." And he's run after this desperately, like adolescent infatuated with some pretty girl. He's been running after them for 8 years. All they do is laugh at him. They despise him. They don't want any kind of good deal with the United States. They want our money, but they certainly don't want our embrace. So and we don't know why. There are various theories, but we don't know why.
We do know that Valerie Jarrett was born in Iran, and that remains a mystery. Know a little bit about that, but it's still a very dark mystery. And also, that she had quite a bit to do with this Iranian working out the details. People that are not even experts in this issue are the ones that have been making these deals with Iran. It's amazing, Michael. And in our closing minutes here, do we have any, what makes us think, this is a silly question, I'll tell you up front, what makes us think that this hard currency is going to go to expedite more terrorism? Why would you think that?
Well, because terrorism is a big Iranian business. But you can be quite sure that a lot of that money is going into private bank accounts of the Iranian supreme leader and so forth in places like China and Hong Kong and so forth. A lot of that is just personal money.
One last thing. Always, we've talked about this before, but the curious relationship of John Kerry to Iran, is it possible to briefly explain that?
Well, I don't get it. The curious relationship is Obama with Iran. and as I said, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, well,
I would like to know why he is so passionate about Iran. And what I heard while all the negotiations for this nuclear deal were going on was that the Iranians were endlessly surprised when Kerry came to them with yet another concession that they hadn't even asked for, that we were way out in front of them on making this deal. So we want this relationship.
It's an amazing, amazing story. Michael Ledeen, soon we will talk more fully about your book, The Field of Fight, co-written with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And Michael, thank you so much for your time and your expertise on this subject. All right, this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. willfully blind. Willfully blind? What else can it be called when we allow the Muslim Brotherhood and their various front groups like Council on American Islamic Relations Care to dictate how our counterterrorism agencies do their investigations, tying our hands at every turn? Yes, willfully blind. When our churches and Christian institutions of higher learning embrace interfaith dialogue, which is more of a Muslim monologue, numbing the minds of the masses to accept Islam while ignoring their own doctrines of exclusivity, Christ alone, by faith alone, we are choosing to be blinded and led down a path to destruction. There are many dangers to willful blindness. Security, safety, national sovereignty, the list goes on. Ignorance is anything but bliss. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know. You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. A disturbing ad is popping up on Craigslist, an unidentified organization searching for informants to spy on Christian churches. One such ad targeted congregations in Sherman, Texas. Informants are expected to record sermons and any other remarks made from the pulpit. The ad goes on to say that information regarding political statements would be turned over to the Criminal Investigation Division of the Internal Revenue Service.
It's very, very scary, and it's just a tactic designed to intimidate pastors.
Hiram Sasser is director of litigation at First Liberty Institute, a law firm that specializes in religious liberty cases.
I think the government should just stay out of what churches do, should not censor pastors, and just let pastors preach what they want to preach.
Now, should your church or pastor face an IRS investigation, contact First Liberty Institute at firstliberty.org. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I've been speaking over and over again in the past few months about my great discouragement that in race after race, this is supposed to be an election where the people are upset, right? And they want to rebel against the, quote, establishment on both sides of the aisle, right? And yet in race after race after race across the country, conservatives are being knocked out left and right. They're fractured in the primaries. Sometimes three or four conservatives will work against each other while the establishment candidate will win. It's just, and no one ever seems to get this. It never seems to click into place. And I have to tell you that the establishment of the Republican Party is organized and fierce and moneyed, and they're coming after conservatives in Congress. And just this week, they took one out. Many of us just feel a kick in the stomach at the loss of Tim Huell's camp. In Kansas. He lost, I think, by 3,000, something like 3,000. I'm not sure, actually, what the final vote count was. But let me read you what Daniel Horowitz says about Tim Huell's camp. He was the first member to publicly call for the defeat of former House Speaker John Boehner, who is basking in the glow of his defeat. Huell's camp led the opposition to John Boehner's speakership in 2013 and received a standing ovation for suggesting at a national Tea Party even that we replace GOP leadership. He said, isn't it high time We retire John Boehner's biggest excuse. We only control one half of one third of the government. And Daniel goes on to say, because of his penchant to fight for conservative principles, Huelskamp was removed by leadership from the budget and agriculture committees in late 2012. This is one of the people I told you about many months ago who was punished for standing up against John Boehner. He was moved from the Ag Committee, and yet he has a PhD in agriculture. This is how ridiculous. And so we don't have a lot of congressional races left in this cycle, but there are some significant ones. You've been hearing about Paul Ryan in Wisconsin is being challenged by a very strong challenger, Paul Nellen. And I believe that this whole dust-up over Trump is really at its core about saving Paul Ryan's bacon in Wisconsin. And then we have John McCain, who is as establishment a Republican as it gets. And he's kind of in a rivalry with Trump, but Trump is refusing to endorse him so far. McCain's challenger is Kelly Ward. It's Dr. Kelly Ward. She's giving him a good run. But it's not the only race. And I wanted to introduce you to someone who's you've seen and you've heard. He's been all over the news. But I want to introduce him by way of his own spot on his page. He's running for Congress in Florida, and this is who he is.
The best piece of advice I ever heard was from Brother Leo in Molloy High School. Brother Leo said to me, "Dan, real men make enemies." And he was right. And I found that out in politics. I was a Secret Service agent for 12 years. I started as an investigator, investigating financial crimes. I moved on to an instructor position in our Secret Service Academy, which I really enjoyed. I went to the Dignitary Protection Division after that. And I finally graduated to the big show, the President's Detail. I did 5 years, 3 years with President Bush, 2 years with President Obama. When I was in the Secret Service, here's what I saw with politicians. You see people, men and women, come up there all the time that are principled. And I don't know if it's the pats on the back or the boot licking or the butt kissing or the White House trips or the Christmas parties or the Air Force One trips. They start to believe their own fairy tales. I'm running because no one wants to tell you the truth. You've been lied to for so long by legions of politicians with their own personal agendas. You need someone to go up there and say, "Nah, not today. We're not going to do that. You can plant one on my ass because we're not doing it that way."
All right, that's we'll cut into that because it's a great spot. It's on Dan's campaign page. Dan Bongino, you've heard him on radio, you've seen him on television, and he really has been a champion for those of us that have gotten to know him. Dan, thanks for joining me this morning.
Sandy, it is an honor to be here. You know how in high regard I hold you being a warrior for the cause. So thank you so much.
Dan, you're sweet. Thank you. You know what? One of your bylines, I know you have a few, but you've got sweep DC clean. And I think you expressed it well in the spot, a little bit of the spot we just played for you. Is there anything more that you heard my introduction about Huelskamp and what's happened to him. I'd just love to know what your thoughts are about what's happening in this election cycle.
Yeah, it's really a disgrace. And I don't have any more harsh of an adjective to use on a station that appeals to family values, really. I mean, what I need to get across to your audience, Sandy, and I think what you've been fighting for, gosh, years on this, is you have to get out of the Democrat-Republican paradigm, folks. If we're really going to change things, you have to understand that there is a core of insider Democrats and insider Republicans that have the exact same interest: cheap labor, maintenance of power, bigger government that empowers their initiative. The initiatives may be different, but the end goal of big government is still the same. When you understand that, we will finally be able to get a unified conservative effort to drain the cesspool that has become Washington, D.C. And that, if there's one message I had to get across, it's that.
It's pretty much of a gut wrench or whatever adjective, whatever metaphor you want to use. Yeah. To see Tim Huelskamp go down. You know, many people are gloating, many people in the establishment, because Tim Huelskamp was a great defender of Ted Cruz. So they're linking Ted with this thing. This is, you know, the first scalp of a Ted Cruz supporter. There are just a lot of nasty things that the establishment is saying. But Dan, they are they're dead serious about defeating conservatives and about taking out people who wanted to take out John Boehner. And further, take out Paul Ryan. And let me transition to that because I think people still, because they aren't necessarily, thank goodness they have peaceful lives, unlike some of us, to Paul Ryan's actions as Speaker. I'd just love to know, you know, they still think he's a really nice guy. I mean, as you examine his record along with John Boehner's, how would you compare them?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Sandy, I know you have deep spiritual, religious conviction. You know, I do as well. I surrendered to Christ a long time ago. But Christ didn't ask you to be a political fool either. You know, I mean, there was at no point did he ask you to blind yourself to the obvious. Paul Ryan may very well be a nice guy. He may be a spiritual guy. He may have a relationship with Christ. I don't know, Sandy. I don't know him personally. But the bottom line is Paul Ryan's political value, the job you are paying him to do with your money, not volunteer work, it's a service position, is not getting done. If this was your personal business, your church, or anything else, and you had a man in charge who was working against your end goals, you would get rid of him. That doesn't mean you should be rude to him. That doesn't mean if you see him in the Starbucks, you have to yell at him. You don't have to disrespect the man. He's a child of God like everyone else, Sandy. But he's simply not getting the job done. Conservatism is a very simple thing. You can spend your money better than the government. You should control your own health care, and you should pick where your kids go to school. If you don't represent those values, you don't support life and the right to self-protection, then you're just not one of us, and you have to go. I'm sorry. He's not getting the job done. He has to be replaced.
Dan, I'm curious, because I know that you're well-known here in Washington, and you're not going to be like the fair-haired child of the establishment. So in your own race, which is now what district is – I know Naples is your headquarters, but what district is that?
Yes, Florida 19, Naples, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Estero, Southwest Florida.
Okay. What lines are you tracing in your race there for Congress? What hands are you seeing? Is it in opposition to you?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we have a guy running against me who is one of the, if not maybe top five, maybe top three or four, maybe donors for the establishmentarian class in the country. And again, I don't do personal politics. It's not my bag of donuts. He's probably a nice guy. Again, I don't know him personally, but the polls don't look good for him right now. We're doing exceptionally well, Sandy. And what do you think happened? Of course, the knives came out. Really nasty, vitriolic, personal attacks against me all over the radio, all over TV. You know, and unlike some of the other politicians you have on, I don't lie to people. I don't have a thick skin. I don't. I'm not going to make that up. It hurts. You know, it's okay. It's politics. It's a rough and tumble game. But why? I don't understand why we have to make this stuff personal and untruthful. I mean, it's just not the way to do it. So, yeah, the knives came out against me. I had a guy challenge me to a fight, basically.
A physical fight?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not the kind of guy, you know really, I'm 6'1", 215 pounds. You know, I'm not apt to walk away from that stuff. So that didn't end well for him. But again, this is the kind of stuff that's going on down here because the establishment class does not want to give up an opportunity to knock off a Freedom Caucus member. Remember, this seat was held by Kirk Clawson. He stepped aside because of some family health issues. He was a Freedom Caucus member and voted right almost every single time. Now they want to replace him with an establishmentarian, and the knives came out. Really sad.
So, and I'm guessing that your funding is probably nothing like your opponent's. Am I guessing correctly? Did you find a bag of gold somewhere? I'm sorry, what did you say?
I did. There's a lot of rainbows in Florida, but there's definitely no leprechauns or gold pots at the end of them. No, we're being outspent brutally, about 20-25 to 1, which even speaks worse to my opponent's efforts because he still can't catch us. So, but yeah, we're definitely at the low end of the funding scale compared to him. So,
you know, Florida is such an interesting state this year, Dan, because I know it's one of the states that in the presidential election is very close. I think Donald Trump is slightly ahead of Hillary Clinton, as I understand it. But I also will note that in the past several months, I've been reading about all the immigration, legal and illegal, into Florida now. And also not just immigration, because Puerto Ricans are American citizens, but a huge influx of Puerto Rican citizens because of the financial problems down there. How do you have any idea, have you given any thought or factor, I'm sure you have knowing you, as to how that might affect the election down there?
Yeah, the large influx of people from Puerto Rico is largely in the I-4 corridor in the Orlando region. But
Here's what's interesting, and you're right. I mean, just based purely on numbers, they largely affiliate with the Democratic Party based on voter registration. That's not my opinion. That's just a fact. But here's the interesting thing, Sandy. The Cuban population, I'm sure you know this, most of your audience, that comes here from Cuba, and there's a large Cuban population, especially in where I knock on doors. I mean, I've met hundreds of Cuban Americans here. They are diehard, blood-red Republicans, Sandy. You know why? They've seen socialism. It has literally smacked them in the face, taken money out of their wallets, starved them and their kids. When you talk to them about Obama, you want to see the fangs come out? So, you know, have some hope. I think Florida, you know, although there is a large immigrant population, it's not all what the media wants to portray it as some kind of a demographic Republican time bomb. That's just not the case.
Dan, as we, you know, I should talk to you about these other races, but let me ask you a personal question here. People have to understand that even though their races are over in their states, and most states are finished with these primaries, the good thing is that you can reach across, you can help candidates in other states all the time. Many people will get in the, I know lots of people who are actually up in Wisconsin right now, involved in the Paul Ryan race, actually trying to get him defeated because, and they're not from that state. I mean, this is what happens all the time. If you have a vested interest or if you really, you know that there's a lot more at stake than just that particular state. And so, Dan, if somebody wanted to help you, how would they do that?
Yeah, I deeply appreciate that. My website is my last name, Bongino, Bongino.com. I would really appreciate it. And your point is 100% accurate, Sandy. You know, no good person likes asking for money. I mean, your parents told you that growing up, right? Don't ask for money and don't talk about yourself. But the reality is in politics, it is a unnecessary evil. And it really does help, folks. It goes right on the air. It buys campaigns on. And Neil and I right now are the last men standing in Congress for potentially for this conservative cause. And it's really important. And if you don't have money, that's fine. You can volunteer. Sign up for my email at bongino.com. Spread the word. Believe me, it helps. Even if it's not in the district, you know, it still helps get the word out there.
What's the date for your primary?
It's August 30th, but absentee, what they call, well, it's vote by mail largely in Florida. Some people aren't absentee. They vote by mail in the district. The ballots are already out. So if you're a Florida District 19 resident, requested a vote by mail, that ballot's coming to you any day now if it's not in your mailbox right now. So my name is right there, right on top with the B. It's one nice part of having a B in your last name.
Yeah, that's true. And Paul Nellen's race against Paul Ryan is next Tuesday. And it's an interesting story, Dan, because I have good friends in the Republican Party in Wisconsin who are, you know, want to keep Paul in place because of, you know, his reputation, which is, I believe, a false one, actually. But it's really becoming a battle. And my understanding is that district went for Trump in the primary. So that makes it all very interesting, too. So, all right. So for you, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. That changes the dynamic substantially in the district. You're right.
All right. So you've got a few weeks left here, even though the ballots are out. What are you going to be doing? What are you doing to take yourself over that line?
As of yesterday, 1,986 doors. According to my web app, you know, Sandy, I knock on doors. I actually talk to people. I said repeatedly to even congressmen now told me, oh, that's a waste of time. That's nonsense. We almost pulled off one of the biggest upsets in the country in the last cycle. It's because I knocked on 7,150 doors. You know, again, one message that I get out there to Republican candidates. Campaigns are not won on Facebook. Facebook's great. So is Twitter. Campaigns are won on front porches. You better talk to people and look them in the eye. Believe me, it matters.
How do people respond when you knock on their doors?
You know, it's about half of them are home and about half want to talk. They have all down here, the water is a big issue. We have a problem with Lake Okeechobee. It's a long story beyond the scope of this conversation, but they want to talk about the water issue all the time. And immigration is a really, really big issue down here in Southwest Florida, too.
Very interesting. All right. Well, Dan Bongino, it's very nice to talk to you. And I wish you all the best, and I wish health and safety and God's blessing on your family. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks a lot. Love you. Take care.
Okay, love you too. Okay. All right, Sandy Rios signing off here. I'll be right back with more. You know, it never ends. Sandy Rios in the morning.
After crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God instructed the children of Israel to take stones from the river and make a memorial. When their future children would say, "What do these stones mean?" the parents would recount the Lord's deliverance of Israel from slavery and Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. In each of our lives, there are events that ought to be remembered, events where the Lord moved and delivered us. Whether we use stones, photos, or special celebrations, it matters only that we take time to remember what the Lord has done and pass that testimony on to future generations.
Since 1977, the American Family Association has been informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. The Lord has given us many victories over the years that laid the foundation for our work today and into the future. Learn more at AFA.net.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
You slip away for a weekend of relaxation, but wake up to find yesterday's scratchy throat feels like a fiery furnace. Your weekend could be up in flames, but for MD Live, 24/7 access to board-certified physicians anywhere. MD Live is used by major corporations and the American Family Association to augment employee health care benefits. Information to determine whether MD Live makes sense for you is available at hcbenefits.com. hcbenefits.com.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hillary Clinton has a Sharia problem, and it's just gotten a lot worse. For years in various jobs, Mrs. Clinton has turned a blind eye toward this totalitarian and women-brutalizing Islamic code. Worse yet, she has greatly enabled Sharia's adherents, who believe it is Allah's will that they impose it on the rest of us. For example, Hillary embraced, legitimated, and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Libya, Syria, and here. She featured a prominent advocate for Sharia at the Democratic Convention. The family business of her longtime top staffer, Huma Abedin, is promoting Sharia in the West. Now, the Daily Caller reveals that the Clintons and their foundation have raked in many millions of dollars from a Dubai-based company that teaches Sharia and applies it to financial transactions that generate funds for jihad. Sharia is anti-constitutional. How can Hillary support it? This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It is the first time a U.S. police officer has been arrested for providing material support to ISIS. 36-year-old Metro Transit officer Nicholas Young of Fairfax, Virginia, was arrested at Metro Transit Police headquarters this morning. At his home, police officers swarmed amidst curious neighbors.
He was just a little weird. He was a little closed off.
In his first appearance this afternoon, he asked for a court-appointed attorney. The criminal complaint describes a disturbed man, a convert to Islam, who confided to undercover agents that he tortured animals troubles as a child, had a Nazi eagle tattoo on his neck, hated Jews, was prone to domestic violence, and owned many assault weapons. A Justice Department source described him as thirsty for violence and deeply impressionable to ISIS social media.
We know that part of the strategy that is used by extremist groups around the world, including ISIL.
This is Sandy Rios back. That's Doug McElway, and of course he goes on. But the point is that a D.C. Metro policeman was involved with ISIS, and they arrested him. I mean, no one was killed. They found all kinds of weapons in his house. But that happened just yesterday morning. And then yesterday, in the last news cycle, in London, a woman was stabbed to death and five other people injured. And the police say terror cannot be ruled out. Of course, the first thing they say is we're looking into mental illness. That's what they always say. But the reason they say terrorism is because they saw two Middle Eastern men around the area afterwards. So that's developing, you know, who knows? Maybe it's just, you know, who knows? Just a random act, you know, or a lone wolf. This is what they always say. Or a mental illness. It couldn't possibly. Well, we'll see what they say about that. But there's another piece here that I want to read to you. This is a bit of writing by, I can't find his, oh, Mr. It's a, his name is Sarfo. And he says, the Islamic State attacks in Paris on November 13th brought global attention to the group's external terrorism network, which began sending fighters abroad 2 years ago. He says, what they describe is a multi-level secret service under the overall command of the Islamic State's most senior Syrian operative, spokesman and propaganda chief Abu Muhammad al-Abnani. Below him is a tier of lieutenants empowered to plan attacks in different regions of the world, including a secret service for European affairs, a secret service for Asian affairs, and a secret service for Arab affairs. Well, I've spent, you know, the last several days, really, this is Thursday, I've spent really almost the first 3 days of this week talking about Islamism, talking about that publication, Dabiq 15, which, by the way, I recommend you go on our Facebook page or look it up on the internet, read it. It's a break the cross. It's their, according to my expert friends, the final warning to the Crusader West to convert or be killed. And so it's fascinating. They take on Christian doctrine in great detail, the Trinity. They say they have an article, Why We Hate You. It's just amazing. And they encourage now Islamists around the globe to start striking. And they give instructions on how to do it. And don't wait and do it now. And strike them at home and strike, you know, not on the battlefield. And it's also, you know, the last issue they, not issue, not literally, but the last time they issued specifics like this, it was to kill military personnel and their families. And now it's to go after Christians. But of course, remember that Christian means any person in the West who is not a Muslim. I mean, Jews would be distinct from that, but the others, they, it's just all this big broad brush that they paint. And by the way, just as an aside, this is interesting. In the funeral of that French priest, who the 86-year-old priest whose throat was slit and nearly beheaded at the altar, they said that his last words when he looked at his attackers were, "Go away, Satan. Go away, Satan." Twice he said that before they killed him on the altar. I just think it's just interesting, and it certainly is true that we are battling I believe Satan himself. We certainly are. I don't believe. I don't even know how to qualify that. We are battling. This is, you know, even my friends who do not embrace Jesus necessarily, not that they reject him. Some of them do, but others just never have thought or really, really gotten serious about their faith. In the midst of all of our discussions, I believe that there is an honest acknowledgement that something's going on here that is much beyond humanity and the ability of humans to coordinate such evil. And I'm not just talking about Islam. I'm talking about just all the things that we are seeing, you know, in our own government. It's just a striking. It's supernatural. And we see it all over the globe, and it seems to be spreading. But I want to move to another subject because this is really interesting to me. I have to tell you right now that there is a look. We have to speak about the truth. When it comes to this presidential election, I'm planning to tell you the truth. I am certainly not going to embrace, I will rarely embrace anything Hillary Clinton says because I know her record and I know who she is. Donald Trump is all over the map. But when he needs defending, I'm going to defend him. And certainly right now, he is under an incredible attack. And I just want you to be aware of what's happening. Surely, by now, we recognize when someone is being completely shredded by our media. And I would even include Fox News on this. I want to, just to give you, okay, let me just tell you, the Democrats have launched a petition to evaluate Trump's mental health. So tell you, he's unfit. He's crazy. And some Republicans are weighing in. In fact, there's a Congressman Richard Hanna from New York, who, by the way, has like a 24% approval rating among conservatives. He's saying that Donald Trump is unfit. And then some are saying he's mentally unstable. And so then last night when I was listening to Fox's coverage on this, I want you to hear John Roberts. Remember that John came to Fox. I'm sorry, I don't mean to attack John, but I'm just telling you, I don't think he's a conservative. And when he reports this, there are some things that he twists and turns. And I want you to listen for them. This is Cut 6.
If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say.
I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier.
You can get the baby out of here.
After a disastrous 72 hours where Donald Trump repeatedly ran over his message with a series of highly criticized eruptions, Fox News has learned that Republican leaders and campaign officials alike want what amounts to a strategic recalibration to get Trump back on track. Fox News is told that Trump will likely hear from a number of close advisors, including Reince Priebus, Newt Gingrich, and Rudy Giuliani, about the need to focus solely on Hillary Clinton, the Obama administration record, and what he will do for the nation if elected.
He has not made the transition to being the potential president of the United States, which is a much tougher league. People are going to watch you every single day. They're going to take everything they can out of context. And he's not yet performing at the level that you need to.
At a rally in Daytona Beach, Florida, Trump appeared to get the message, teeing off on the $400 million the administration sent to Iran just as the American hostages were being released.
I turn on the news and I see $400 million being shipped in cash. And they didn't want dollars. It's being shipped in different currencies, and it's being shipped overnight to Iran.
All right, that's the first part of John's report. And I want to stop and just pause just to speak about it. He started out with these clips of selected clips of Donald Trump talking about Mr. Khan's wife, about the Purple Heart, and about the baby. And I know in all three instances, those were clips selected to misrepresent. I have to say, on Mr. Khan's wife, I don't have any problem with what Donald Trump said. It is true that Mr. Khan is a Sharia adherent, and it's true there's a reason why she wears a veil, and that's the reason why she's subservient to her husband, because this is Sharia law. This is not a shocking statement. And the second thing is in the Purple Heart. You know, we heard from our friend with Homeschool Legal Defense, who was at that rally in Virginia when the veteran backstage gave him the Purple Heart. And Donald Trump said, off camera, off mic, "I can't take this." That was his response. "I can't take this." But of course they play, you know, then he goes into a shtick on the stage because he is who he is. He's a big personality who speaks carelessly. But that was not his heartfelt response to that Purple Heart gift. And on the baby, totally disingenuous. A total lifting out of context when he was making a joke and he'd actually shown much graciousness to the baby's mother, according to Will Estrada. And by the way, with Homeschool Legal Defense, who was right there when this happened, and you can read Will's post on our Facebook page. All right, so then John characterizes that, as are the media across the board, as a disastrous 72 hours. Terrible. How could he say such things? And then I heard John all day yesterday reporting every time he'd come there, there's going to be an intervention. There's going to be an intervention by Reince Priebus and all these leaders. And they're panicked. And now they're trying to figure out if they should get Donald Trump out. Well, then he moderated it and said, well, maybe not so much an intervention. Maybe maybe it'll be a phone call, a couple of phone calls. And so creating this whole narrative that Donald Trump's campaign is falling apart. They're doing this on purpose. You do understand that, right? And Reince Priebus is upset. I'll tell you why he's upset. Because Donald Trump is not endorsing, at least for the moment, Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan, I think, is in trouble. The primary is Tuesday, and rightfully so, could I say? He has a really good challenger, Paul Nellen, who did a press conference outside Paul Ryan's house to show that Ryan's home is surrounded by a huge fence. and tons of security, while he himself is a rabid opponent of any kind of wall on the border, any kind of restriction to immigration. He's been the one that's criticized Donald Trump for stopping a Muslim immigration when they cannot be vetted from war-torn countries. It's just amazing. And so that's why they're upset, man. They are upset, and they're upset because he won't endorse John McCain, who we could say much the same about John and many other things. So this is really why they're after him. I just want you to understand that. Last night, Megyn Kelly did the similar thing. Let's listen. Cut 9.
If Hillary puts her people on the Supreme Court, okay, like, who knows? Elizabeth Warren maybe will go. Maybe. Pocahontas. And those commercials were so false, just like Hillary's commercials. They're so false. Like she's got the one with blood coming out of her eyes. And I meant her nose or her ears or her mouth. But these people are perverted. I said, in New Jersey, they were dancing. Those people that knocked down the World Trade Center, most likely under the Trump policy, wouldn't have been here. But the reporter, all of a sudden, remembered it totally different from his story. And he was groveling. I won't make the motions because if I do, they'll say something, you know. And nobody's better to people with disabilities than me. I spend millions and millions of dollars on buildings taking care of people with disabilities.
So, joining me now, Ben Domenech, publisher of The Federalist.
All right, we don't need to hear that introduction. I just, Megan laughing, and then that was the beginning of it. Just mocking. You know, this is, you have to please know that this is a way to persuade. And then, of course, Trump's numbers are down by 10 points because a lot of people, even people I know and love, are saying to me, look what he's doing. Well, he does a lot of irrational things. They aren't rational to me. He is undisciplined in his speech. No question about it. He says a lot of things I don't like, and I could itemize them. But this, he is speaking just off the cuff, and much of what they're coming after him right now are just absolutely illegitimate attacks. Illegitimate attacks. And by the way, his fundraising is surging. He raised nearly as much in small donations last month as Hillary Clinton. So don't believe everything that you hear, and understand that the establishment really, even George W. Bush is now criticizing, and he was so silent. Where were they when Bill Clinton was doing what he was doing? Where are they with Hillary Clinton, who is really a dangerous person in every sense of the word, a dangerous candidate? I shudder to think what would happen if Hillary Clinton became president, and she might. I never thought I would ever see this. So where were these Republican establishment types? Where are they on Hillary Clinton? And I agree, Donald Trump needs to talk about her. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. But I do not agree with these accusations that he's mentally unstable or he's unfit. He is as fit as Barack Obama ever thought about being. What kind of a president sends $400 million in cash, in hard currency, to a terrorist country? That's unfit. That is, by its very definition, unfit. Someone who does not take care of the American people. And Hillary Clinton was the architect of that Iranian deal. So, ladies and gentlemen, think about what's most important here. Don't be duped and led, even by media that you often trust, because sometimes they're not trustworthy. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.